Well, Pastor Daniel, thank you so much for that particular song, Be Thou My Vision. That is one of my favorite songs, and I enjoy it for so many different things and reasons why. I especially like it for the picture of heaven that it shows. High King of Heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. What is heaven about? I believe that heaven is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people get all caught up in about those streets of gold, and they get caught up at the whole thing of the involvement of seeing loved ones up in heaven. I think that is to actually lower what heaven is really about. And as we come to the book of the Revelation, I think we're going to see that tonight. As we continue this mini-series on doxology, although today is going to be the last of the mini-series of this doxology and the doxologies that are found within Scripture, and we will learn from the fact that there will never be an end to doxology. That doxology happens on earth as we sing, as we pray, as the people of God worship. But also, there are the doxologies that are in heaven that will go on for eternity. And we're going to consider that tonight. We're going to wrap this series up. And let me just, by way of announcement, make mention of the fact that, Lord willing, next Sunday night, Brother Harold Cummings is going to come, and he is going to present a message, one that I have specifically asked him for, concerning how the church changes within historical events. And I look forward to that message. It is really from the basis of a prayer that he offered up at our task force meeting, and as we discussed getting back together again in the future of our church, and what does the future church look like after the coronavirus pandemic. And so he is going to be speaking next Sunday night, and you plan to be here, and I know I'm going to be, and I'm going to really look forward for that particular message. Well, once again, take your Bible and turn with me just to the book of the Revelation. And as you are turning there, I want you to be thinking of eternity. Now, in this particular passage of Scripture, the book of the Revelation, you know, sometimes people get so caught up in eschatology that, and they're thinking of, okay, where's the rapture and where's this and where's that and getting all the things involved in it, that I am convinced that there's a misappropriation of this particular book in the Bible students that come to it. Notice what the book title is, The Revelation of Last Times. Is that what it says? No. The Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, the messenger John. And so it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, the coming kingdoms, and some of the things, it is things that are going to shortly come to pass, but some of the things have not taken place yet. Well, that's over 2,000 years. That's not so short of a time, at least by our standards, but by God's standards, it's just a wink. So as we come to this particular passage, I want us to consider, when I say passage, we're going to consider this in the book of the Revelation, and that in this particular book, this is an interesting one because there are several, actually numerous doxologies that are found in the book of Revelation, in the revelation of Jesus Christ. It reminds us that in our doxology, that there is an important God focus. There's an important God focus in this life. But now as we go into these glimpses of the future and of heaven, there's the importance of God focus in the future life. Going to heaven and seeing and the future in the eternal state, it's not just about will the circle be unbroken. That's not what it's about. It is about the glory of God, that God is to be magnified in the next life or in eternity. The book of the Revelation in chapter 1 talks about the visions of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not quite like what we were normally thinking about when it talks about him and in a sense what he looks like, what his voice is like, and so forth. In chapters 2 through 3, it is about the seven churches. And then we go into chapter 4, the throne room. And then in chapter 5, we have this whole theme of worthy is the Lamb. And then soon after that come the judgments, that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against the ungodliness of this earth, that the wrath of the Lamb is seen in chapter 6 and chapter 7. However, some survive, and they give him glory. As the author John writes concerning these consummate kind of concepts and things like that, John is caught up in doxology several times. One of those is found, and I think this is very typical, for example, in Revelation chapter 7. So turn back there to chapter 7 and look at verse 12. This is after the sealed are opened and so forth. And in chapter 7 and verse 12, I'll go up to verse 11. It says, "And all the angels stood around the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures." Now, keep in mind, this is a scene in heaven, in the throne room, a future revelation of what it is like there. So you notice, like, family ties here on earth, there's not being emphasized, but angels stood around the throne of God, and the elders, the four living creatures, and they fall on their face before the throne, and they worship God. Now, if you remember, doxology, doxa is the Greek word for glory. So in a sense, doxology is the study of glory, and it is about the study of the glory of God. This is now the doxology or a doxology that is given in heaven. And notice that this is called worship in heaven. They are worshiping God. This includes angels. It includes the elders, the 24 elders, whoever they are. I remember a seminary professor saying, whoever tells you they know exactly who those 12 elders are, they're wrong, because nobody knows who they are. But we know they exist. But there's these elders that are up there, the seraphim, the living creatures that are surrounding the throne. They fall down on their face. They worship God. Now verse 12, 7:12, this is what they say. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Now that is couched, that doxology is couched in heaven, in the future, and it is after the revelation of the seals that are going to be poured out upon him. Notice it says in chapter 7, verse 9, right before this, after these things, I looked and behold a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Now, that's doxology in and of itself. And then all the angels stood and they offered up their own doxology. So you see, the doxologies that are found in the book of the Revelation are numerous and in several responses. Sometimes it is about this whole thing of who is offering it. In that case, it was those of the great tribulation, probably tribulation saints and that. But then this other one, it was the angels and the beasts that were crying out. And then we go on and have further revelation. So today what I want us to consider in this particular passage are, first of all, the sum of at least the doxological statements that are found in the book of the Revelation, with the idea this is about the things that are in the future. But it was the things that as John wrote, that even as the author, some of these he entered into doxological exclamation concerning worship as he contemplated the statements that he was making. For example, let's go back to chapter 1 and the first doxology that are given. This is in chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. 4 through 8. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over all the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now you see, he doesn't even get a good start in the book when he talks about there to the seven churches and that grace to you and that. And then he says that this is going to be unto him who is the ruler over all the earth. And he's setting it up because the book is about the revelation of Jesus Christ. And as he begins to think about that, he begins to fill up his soul with statements concerning who Christ is. To him who loved us. This is John talking. John knew how he loved. Remember, even from this morning's message about the theme of love in the writings of John. John comes in that this Jesus who loved us. But not only that, he washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings. So you see this as love, washed, made us kings to his own. And then he starts to contemplate who this is, made us kings and priests to his God. And who is that God? He's the Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now that's before the seals and the trumpets and all of the different judgments that are found here, the trumpets, and it was just the culmination that our God reigns, and he's my vision. Be thou my vision, and he's caught up in doxology. Go with me to Revelation chapter 5 and verse, let's go to verse 13. Well, it's so hard to kind of, what are you going to do? In chapter 5, you've got, for example, in verse 5, the one of the elders said to me, do not weep, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. Verse 6, and I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. And then you have verse 8, and when he had taken the scroll, that is the lamb, and the 24 elders, they fell down before the Lamb, and each having a harp and golden bowls full of the incense, which are the prayers of the saints, they sang a new song. So now they're singing in glory in the midst of all of this. And then this is a song in verse 12. It says, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Those are basically doxological statements. Verse 13, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such are as in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down, and they worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Boy, if that doesn't get your goosebumps going on goosebumps, you may want to check your spiritual pulse to see if you are spiritually alive. What an awesome passage of Scripture of the throne room of heaven. Notice earlier in that same chapter, they sang a song that we sang tonight. It says, and they do not rest day or night. This is in verse 8. Singing what? Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Well, now technically that's doxology. But it shows that they're singing in doxological praise and worship that's going on in heaven. When we go all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy, that same thing. I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And they were singing, holy, holy, holy. That goes on for eternity. Doxological praise of the glory of God continues in honor and majesty, dominion, power. See, doxology is truly special unto God. It is part of the response of molecules, both material and immaterial, of all of creation and their response at God creating them, whatever spirits are made of. You see, we have a great God, and he is worthy of honor and majesty. And we have so much of that not being done in our own society. And when you have God image bearers who dare to even question his existence, let alone honoring him and praising him and receiving the self-revelation of him, that's why the wrath of God exists. And the book of the Revelation is all about that. Well, we considered the doxology of chapter 7, verses 9 through 12. And again, that is a great doxology there. There's another one to take a quick look at is in the book of the Revelation, chapter 11. And Revelation 11, verse 15. 11, 15. This is the seventh trumpet that is coming. And look at what it says here in chapter 11, verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell down on their faces, and they worshiped God. Now, whoever these 24 elders are and the angels, when they worship God, what is like said? How, what does it look like? Well, they fall on their faces. They bow humble. They recognize his, and they reverently recognize him. They recognize him in reverence. It's not like the bebop, it's like either a rock concert or something that tries to meet the standards of this world. That's one reason why I'm heartbroken at some of the contemporary concepts of what worship is with purple and blue lighting and with fog machines and trying to conjure up something that is special. Here, they humbly bow and recognize the greatness of God. But what do they say? This is the doxology, verse 17. "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and you and your wrath has come. The time of the dead that they should be judged, that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and you should destroy those who destroy the earth." Well, I can hear the politically correct crowd crying, "That's not fair." And yet, in heaven, the judgment of God against sin is recognized as right. Notice, then the response, verse 19. "Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. And there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, an earthquake, and great hail. Now, a great sign appeared in heaven." And it goes on and discusses that in chapter 12. "A great woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her garland 12 stars, and with child she cried out in labor and in pain." That's in reference to the nation of Israel. And then you have another great picture of some things of what's coming out. Then the judgment, then Satan coming. The woman that is Israel is persecuted. There are many that are killed. And then there will eventually be the great judgment of the wrath of God against all of godliness. Look at chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, as we continue to look at the doxologies of this marvelous book. Chapter 19, the first 10 verses. After these things, this is the judgment of God coming upon the earth, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia! Well, that's a doxology statement. Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and they worshiped God, who sat on the throne, saying, Amen! Alleluia! Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the sound of many waters, and as the sound of a mighty thunder, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then to me he said, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are true sayings to God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. Now, then he's told, don't do that, worship God only, and so forth. And then we have the coming of the Lord Jesus, and we have verse 15 of chapter 19. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and that with it it should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, doxology, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Doxological statements found within the ultimate judgment statements of God's word against all unrighteousness. It's going to conclude that chapter with, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeds from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all birds were filled with their flesh. Now you can take that as metaphor, you can take that as hyperbole, you can take that in any way, shape, and form that you want, but you cannot get away from some of the silly statements of theologians, so-called, of them that live today when they say, God's not a wrathful God, God is only a God of love. And yet there are clearly written doxological statements praising God for the fierceness of the almighty wrath of the omnipotent one that judges sin on the earth. God is great in all of his attributes. All doxology praises all of God, even those that we, or some weak-minded theologians, don't like. So there is the praise, honor, and glory, even concerning the wrath of God against judgment of sinners. Now, as we would continue to look at this, and we're going to bring this to a close with the final doxology, you should know about where I am going. And this is found in Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter of the Bible. And as we come to this particular passage of Scripture, we find how that the time is near when he said in verse 6, for example, 22, then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servant the things which must shortly come and take place, which we saw that in chapter 1. And this is what he says, behold, I am coming quickly. Now that's important for us to understand. Who is writing that? John is. John is the last surviving apostle. This is a book written very late, and that he clearly says that Jesus is coming. He's coming quickly. And you got to begin to understand, how does that affect John? Because remember, doxologies that are written in the Word of Scripture are like the response of the writer to this profound and intense truth. And so verse 7, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now, I, John, saw and I heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And he said to me, 'See that you do not do that. For I am your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who kept the words of this book. Worship God.' And he said to me, 'Do not seal the words of the prophecy of the book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold,'" and we have the restatement, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments." And then he goes on and discusses that whole thing. He says, verse 16, Jesus is talking, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify," do you feel the growing passion? "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take his part away from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in it." And he's caught up in the blessings of the revelation that is revealed here in the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And what is the response? "He who testifies of these things says, 'Surely I am coming quickly.'" Now that's the revelation the Spirit of God gave to John at the conclusion of the Bible, God's word. And what was the response of John to all of this revelation? And even the curse of God upon anyone who would alter this. And this is what he says. "Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." That is pure doxology. Amen. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Doxology is when God is in charge. God is in charge of angels. He is in charge on earth. He is in charge of sovereign, the sealing of judgments for all of sin. He is in charge of Israel. He's in charge of the church. Doxologies, as given in this book and throughout the Word of God, are to be expressed in worship. They are both here on earth and in heaven. They're not just limited to men, but to all creatures. They are accompanied with reverence. It's interesting. They're also known for being loud. They are to be numerous. They are a clear declaration of the heart response to the greatness of God. They are recognized and confirmed with that precious word, amen. There is doxological declaration of the blessings of God, thanksgiving, his power, his might, his dominion, his greatness. Who is able to stand in the way of doxological statements of Almighty God? No one. Who else is worthy to receive the great doxological statements of the Scriptures? No one but God alone. Where will you be in the declaration of some of these doxologies that are yet future? Will you be praising God with doxological statements surrounded his throne in eternity future? Do you do it now Do you have words of worship, of worthiness as you worship God Almighty? Dear one, doxology is good. Doxology is great. As someone has said, the promised one has come. The promised one has risen. The promised one is exalted. The promised one is sovereign. The promised one is prevailing. The promised one invites all to come, is what we've seen here. The promised one invites sinners into his presence. The promised one is coming again. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Father, make these words so. May your children be encouraged. May we worship in purity and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, my brethren. He's a great God.